I'm trying to talk about loving each other. I'm trying to talk about humor. I'm using humor as a weapon, sarcasm as a weapon. And sometimes when I turn on the news or read the paper or I flip through social media and I see this sort of intense, you know, breakup of civility that we have going on all over the planet and moral corruption, I go, well, you know what? It's actually radical to wield love in a completely different way. Not just like I'm sending you roses, but to try to fight against those things not with aggression, but positivity. And I guess that's what it was. And in a weird way, I'm a messenger, I'm a radical, I am love.
Show with Bruce Hilliard, today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Hello, everyone. This is a continuation of episode 24 with Ed Roman in Ontario, Canada. We had a good time laughing about, you name it, agriculture, everything from Ann Murray to Alice Cooper. A wonderful guy to talk to. So I listened to some of the outtakes on the way to Whidbey Island on the ferry last week, and I thought, you know what, let's just put those together, make an episode out of it, and feature more of his music. Here he is, Ed Roman.
Summarize your fears and woes. It's like a fragrant golden season. It purifies you and your soul. I tip my hat to rebels when the newsman calls him foe. And if you check inside your pockets, you'll find it's all just one big show. But that's the way she goes. Like an open door or window, that's the way she goes. Just like the bath water with the baby.
Yeah.
I Am Love is one of your songs. What is that about?
You know, music comes from places that like are diametrically opposed to their message sometimes. In other words, I was in a funk. February, it's Canada, it's minus 30, you know, it's cold, and musicians somehow can't go through these emotional ups and downs, and, you know, I have this place, people say, where do you write? You know, I write everywhere, it doesn't matter when the idea strikes you, you just kind of got to act on it, but this bathtub in my house, it's also my kind of solace. It's old, it's got these big paws on it and everything, and it's like something from the turn of the century, and it's kind of like my swimming pool in the winter. I don't have a pool, you know. But that question you ask yourself sometimes, like, what are you doing? You know, why are you here? What have you done today? What's going on? Like, I'm a Sagittarius rising, so I'm always looking for something to aim at. And, I ask myself, why are you here, Roman? What are you doing here? You know? And I said, well, I'm trying to relay messages, I said to myself. And then the question said, yo, what's the message? What are you always trying to say? What's the bottom line? What's the underlining, the pin? And I said, well, I'm trying to talk about loving each other. I'm trying to talk about humor. I'm using humor as a weapon, sarcasm as a weapon. And sometimes when I turn on the news or I read the paper or I flip through social media and I see this sort of intense, you know, breakup of civility that we have going on all over the planet and moral corruption, I go, well, you know what? It's actually radical to wield love in a completely different way. Not just like I'm sending you roses, but to try to fight against those things not with aggression, but positivity. And I guess that's what it was. And in a weird way, I'm a messenger, I'm a radical, I am love. Is that sort of maybe barbaric yelp we all have at points in time where we're like, I just want to do something good. I want to feel positive today, and I'm, you know, random act of kindness. It doesn't matter what it is. It's connected to that. I'm not going to participate in that because I know what it is, and it's unhealthy. I know everybody's yelling at me for not doing it, but at the same time, you're not listening to each other. All of those kinds of things are kind of wrapped up into that. And things that I, you know, don't want to hold on to because they don't feel worthy of in my life in terms of argumentative things that are so critically, you know, detrimental to the real development of something. So it's in a weird way, it's as simple as it is, it's a mantra. You know, it was for me. It was for me to keep going every day and to go, okay, well, that's why you're here, man. That's a pretty cool reason. So let's start talking about it somehow.
what you're saying. It's almost like you're going against the tide if you're happy, if you're positive. It's like you feel like people are going to look at you like, why are you so damn happy, you know?
Well, that's, you know, or that, or like if I have a conversation, because I grow a lot of food and I come from an agricultural background, cattle, both beef, dairy, immense acreage of farming of all kinds of things, including cash crop. I've seen, and you, Bruce, yourself must have seen, a huge change in agricultural development and how it's developed and how we are less involved in what it is. So if I'm saying something at the grocery store and talking about these things that are passionate, and again, it comes down to passion, you know, I have to say these things in some kind of a way and say, well, you could do this. You don't have to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to vote with your dollar.
Exactly.
Or you need to be thinking outside or alternatively behind what that is. So in a way, that is radical. It's swimming against the current.
Sometimes,
when everybody's like, well, just go to the grocery store. But wait, why are my tomatoes coming from New Mexico when we can grow them here?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Sometimes you know? You see those, decades type shows where they show something from this date 20 years ago, this date 30 years ago, and things look so archaic. And I'm thinking, you know, 20, 30 years from now, we'll see today and we'll go, God, I can't believe we were eating that crap, you know? That was garbage. And people, you know, there were people that were hired to create diet things that ruin the system. You can't digest other food because you eat that. It's poison. But
And you know what? It's a sociological thing, too, because, you know, I was talking about this the other night with a bunch of friends, and it was like, exactly about this change. And I said, it's funny, you know, I talk about what I talk about when it comes to food and agriculture, but I didn't learn it at school.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it at home because my grandparents did it, my parents did it, so I do it. My brothers and sisters do it. And this was like, I went math, history, geography, physical education, all the things kids normally do. But go back 50 years before that to the one-room schoolhouse where education was like, yes, people are learning to read, write, math. But they all came from farm, agricultural areas. Cities were much smaller. Food came from outside of those sources, miles, sometimes in my case, kilometers, only from. And they served the purpose of not only the farm communities, but the people that were living in what we call cities at those points in time. And then, you know, a huge jump in the way that then people then stopped educating kids because kids are in school all the time. They're doing this, that, the other thing, soccer practice. As far as I'm concerned, food and agriculture should be in the education systems for at least half of the day. If you were to ask anybody, what is the most important thing for your child? They say, well, having good, clean water, you'd think, and healthy food so they can be strong and smart to be able to work at what they want to do. Those are the baseline things, again, that we all need. If you have subpar food, it's not good for you, full of sugar, salts, things you can't even pronounce. I as far as I'm concerned, that's not creating a healthy herd, as my father would say.
I like that. It's so true. But I am thinking 20 years from now, we'll look back and people, I think there will be more people growing their own food. I don't know exactly how that's going to be, hydroponics or whatever. It'll be more localized. And, of course, they're always talking climate change. So you're way up north, so it's going to be like you'll have palm trees. But at the same time, the polar bears will be moving down because it's too hot up north. So you'll have, you know, lizards and polar bears all in one backyard. What do you think?
Wow, that's
I just made that up. I don't know where I'm going.
You know, but I mean, the scenarios are, who knows? That's the whole thing. I think being creative with the idea of food and growing it is the best thing. Farm, like people that are growing on buildings.
Yeah.
If you're living in a colder climate, wallapini, that's that one where you dig about 4 feet down, so you're at the frost line, you build a small greenhouse over top of it, and through a good portion of the late or early winter months, and then early spring months, you can potentially grow other things. But, you know, community gardens, neighborhood gardens, people showing that to each other, or in the communities, people that do know how to grow, starting like little kibbutzes for kids, basically. They come for the afternoon every other day through the summer, and they work a 6x6 patch just like my mom gave us when we were kids. And you plant some carrots and you plant some lettuce and a few tomatoes and maybe a pepper plant or two. And the kids look after it. They tend it. And then you see the benefits of it at the end of it. It's not just, you know, I got this app today and I'm playing bongo.
Yeah. You know, I had the fortunate childhood of having the little garden like that too. And we had berry patches and there were wild blackberries and stuff. That's the best food I ever ate. So a lot of times the stuff you get in a grocery store, I don't know where it came from, what's on it, how, you know, how old it is. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's also the fact that you grow it yourself, it tastes better too. But yeah,
but that's it. That self-empowerment, and the kids see that, and through that enthusiasm, like we were saying before, like anything, they go, hey, there's something right about this. Wonderful talking to you, and conversations like an improv solo. If we're listening and we just let things flow.
You're totally, your philosophy is spot on with mine. And when I heard your music and your lyrics and stuff, I'm doing the same. I'm different. I mean, everybody's this is different as you talking, me talking, and the neighbor talking. We're all different in that respect. But I think I'm kind of doing that. There's enough angry music out there. We don't need any more of that. And I'm doing the stuff that's happier stuff. Yeah. What's this about? Why can't we just be nice to each other? It's that simple, you know, type stuff.
Well, I hear you. And you know what? That's funny because the tune I Am Love that you were mentioning came from a dark place, and I'm trying to turn it into a positive. Even if that fluctuation exists, somehow I try to ride it through to figure it out what it is on the other side. If I don't use it, that's a whole other story. If I do, then and it is a positive turnover, then I'm like, okay, this is right.
You're quite a bit younger than I am. You said you were 6 when there was 8 tracks. Well, they weren't even invented.
Well, I'm 47. Okay. So I'll be 48 in June. But I mean, what, in 1976, we were living in a one bathroom farmhouse with 4 bedrooms, a kitchen, and a living room, and a basement that had a chimney in it. And a fireplace, and that's where the 8-track player was. My sister had one of those, you know, the suitcase record player. You pull the back off, and had the wire, right? So fight for that, you know, for who gets the record player space. And my dad had an old Oldsmobile, and it had an 8-track player in it. So whenever we went on a family trip or to church or something, you know, cottage or whatever, there was the 8-tracks that were playing. And my dad would bring home all these best of KTEL, you know, so you'd have everything from, like, Neil Diamond to the Grateful Dead, you know. It was like...
it was. But that's what AM radio was playing. It was Linda Ronstadt to... In a God of DeVito.
Back to back. I'm blue by you. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And it'd be then you get the Canadian version, so you'd have Anne Murray. You know, the Guess Who, you know. These eyes. Right.
Good stuff. Anne Murray. This is funnier now. The same guy that managed Alice Cooper was manager for Anne Murray, and I'm drawing a blank on his name.
That's Tom Williams. Tom Williams was in Canada with Attic Records.
That's not the
and
name.
He started Attic, and I believe at one point he was even doing stuff with Kiss. And
anytime you throw Anne Murray into the mix, it's like, well, wait a minute.
I know.
You can't have Alice
Cooper.
She's
like one of Canada's darlings, right?
Oh, yeah. God, what a voice, you know?
Oh, amazing voice. And, like, it's crazy. I was listening to some vinyl the other night, and there was, like, some of those KTELs that my dad had years ago. And I put them on, and there's the Anne Murray tunes. And I'm like, great voice, man. Great arrangement. Great playing. I could see why it works, man.
She was like a school teacher or something, wasn't she?
I think at one point, but she'd always been singing her entire life. It was because the whole Joni Mitchell thing and that whole era with Neil.
Yeah.
It was a very different sort of crowd that separated her, because a lot of people in Canada considered to be like Joni Mitchell, but the hipper hippies were like, no, Joni's like, you know, Joni and Anne Murray Square, right?
She was like... more technically on, so maybe that made it square, but I didn't know her personally, but she's probably just as crazy as everybody else. But
Yeah. But, she lives just here in Thornhill, in north of Toronto, not that far from one of my buddies, where we actually used to jam when we were kids.
She still perform?
She still does, yeah. And actually, I was doing a wedding. She was the guest at one of the weddings for one of the families. And there we are playing an Anne Murray tune, and there's Anne. She gets up on the stage, she's singing with us, and I'm like, this isn't kind of happening, you know? a bit of, like, I've had those little surreal moments on the Oracles and Ice Cream album when I recorded The Spirit of Radio. You know, Alex Lifeson from Rush would be a part of these events that I would do every year where we were raising money for kids at the Rose Cherry home. And here I asked him, can I put the tune on the record? And he was like, totally, you know, it's cool, it sounds neat. I got to sit down, have dinner with him, and it was like, this isn't happening, man, you know?
It's a tough a cookie to crack, but I hope I don't crumble. Singing, hey, 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 sha-la-la-la-la-la. And you'd think a heart attack could make you humble. Singing, hey, 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 sha-la-la. And implications. Well, they're singing across the nation, singing, hey, 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 sha la 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 la. And in The Cure, well, you can be rest assured, an incarnation. Now leave your hesitations and sing, hey, 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 sha la 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 la. Singing, singing, hey, 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 sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. And I knew your words would always make you fumble. Singing, hey, 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 sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. And in a word, we're self-described here as absurd and implications. While they're singing across the nation, singing, hey, 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 sha-la-la-la-la. Well, you can be rest assured in incarnation. Now leave your hesitations and sing, hey, 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 sha la 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 la. Sing, hey, 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 sha la 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 la. Lost here in translation, can't afford a new salvation. Singing, hey, 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 bye bye. Dawn is coming quickly and it's looking kind of sickly. Sing, hey, 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 bye bye. Play it out. And woo! Bye bye. Here as absurd and implications. While they're singing across the nation, singing, hey, 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 sha la 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 la. And in The Cure, while you can be rest assured, an incarnation. Now leave your hesitations and sing, hey, 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 sha la la.
Kim, your significant other?
She's my significant other. Well, she's cool. My Adrian.
Adrian as in...
Yo, Adrian!
Adrian. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
Adrian!
Oh, God.
Yo, Kimberly!
We're on the scary same wavelength, Ed. It was good talking to you.
And you too.
Say hello to
Have
Kim.
Have a great day.
Tell her to keep you in line, okay?
She does. She's my balance. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Talk to you, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
But until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.